Hey everybody, it's Vince Thomas, lead pastor of the Outlet Community. Thank you so much for tuning into the Outlet Community Podcast. We pray that you are able to experience the power of authentic relationships. If you're ever in the Atlanta area, we'd love to have you out. Just simply visit theoutlet.cc for more information of our service location and times. Well, sit back, relax, and enjoy this life-giving message. I want this season of prayer to ignite something on the inside of you that has been ignited on the inside of me. The Lord dealt with me about a month or so ago that this is going to be a season for the miraculous. And so he's going to show himself strong and he's going to show himself real in your life during this season. But the Lord also has dealt with me about certain disciplines that I do naturally to pass on to our church, but to walk with you as we learn them together. I think that's coming out. Is that coming out? You won't want to catch it. Yeah, we lost a whole glass window. Amen. The anointing is strong in here. So, I want to pass those disciplines to you. So over the next 21 days, I am really going to challenge, in a loving way, you to be everything you've been created to be. It's necessary for your growth, for your sustainment in life, and for you to be the light that God has called you to be. As I was going over the message last night, I was trying to go to sleep. And it was just this strong sense of repentance in my heart from coming from me personally toward God that I hadn't sensed in a long time. The time I had with the Lord was so wonderful that I don't know what time I went to sleep, but I woke back up at about 4:30, and it was like he and I were just talking together for another 3.5 hours, and it felt like 15 minutes. And so when it comes to seasons of prayer, what happens is, especially for those who are in leadership, you've got to go where you want others to follow. You cannot expect people to go somewhere you've never been. And there's this sweet place of communion with God that has come over me that I want to share with you. I don't make any apologies for wanting you to experience God for yourself. I make no apologies about that. Because when life happens, you've got to know who God is for yourself. So go with me in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. We'll have two text scriptures. It'll be Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. It will also be 1 John chapter 5, verses 13 through 15. I believe it's selfish if a person given the responsibility to share with you the truth of God's word doesn't give you the secrets, or as the word calls, the mystery of his word. I want to share with you all secrets over the next 21 days. The title of this series is simply called Hidden: Cultivating the Life You Prayed For. Hidden, cultivating the life you prayed for. So I'm going to use principles within Scripture to show how our lives are hidden in Christ And at the same time, I'm going to show you how then to cultivate that life that God desires for you to live. And my heart is to make this, by the grace of God, so palatable that you're going to want to leave church today and have your own experience with God until the next time that we meet again. This is officially day one of our 21 days of prayer. And I like starting on Sunday because it gets us off to a great start. Tomorrow will be day two. Inside of the YouVersion Bible app, there's a way for you to sign up for the encouragement and videos that we'll send. But really, all that I'm asking is that for at least an hour of your day, however you break it up is however you break it up, but at least an hour of your day over the next 21 days, commit to focusing on God. Block out the phone, social media, and it's just you and God. Now, you don't have to talk to God, you know, just you doing a monologue for a whole hour. But sometimes just disconnecting yourself from the outside world, God is able to speak to you in ways that you couldn't even have imagined. In the Bible, prayer is not just talking with your mouth, but prayer in Psalm 5 is meditation of the heart. So the times where you're meditating and thinking about scriptures, that also is included in your prayer time. In the August 21 days of prayer, we are simply going to just spend time with God. This is not the January 21 days of prayer where it's prayer and fasting. All I'm asking is just an hour of prayer. Now, if the Lord leads you to go into fasting or partial fast, be open to the leading of Holy Spirit. But I'm asking you to commit first to these 21 days. But the Lord also asked me to ask you another question. Can you commit 12 months to the best development spiritually of your life? Spiritual growth and development first starts inward, and then it transforms you in your mind, in your will, your emotions, but then it makes its way to your actual physical body. If all we do is take care of the body, we don't deal with the root, which is our spirit. And so we could be pretty without substance. And I want the substance for you. So over these 21 days, I'm asking the Lord to talk to you, to speak to you. Things that you kind of have put off to the side and put on the shelf, I'm going to ask you to pull them back out and let him deal with you. And after 21 days, I want us to have another conversation about the quality of life that you want. And if you could just give God 12 months, I mean, he gave you your whole life, but if you could just give him 12 months, where will you be? Where will your household be? Where will your family be? Are you all ready to dive into hidden? All right, Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. It says, since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in his glory. Heavenly Father, in the brief moments that we have today, Lord, you know the hearts that are present. You know the lives that are present. I'm asking you, Lord, to make known your plan, make known your desires, because you've called them, not me, you. But you've entrusted us with the responsibility, Lord,
of helping to shepherd. So we assume that role. There's a world that's here. There's a culture that's here that without your help, they would be lost. Let us not think that that's an okay way to live. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to make the stakes really high this morning. I was sitting in a social justice conference on this weekend. There was a quote that came up that said, "The only thing worse than hatred is indifference." It's feeling like, oh well. But unfortunately, in churches, that's been the standard attitude. We'll see. And what's happening is because Satan can't outright destroy the church, he has to distract us long enough for us to give up our power that Christ has given us. He distracts us with habits, with behaviors, and with things that are geared to rock us to sleep for the sake of entertainment. Now, I'm not saying that a life in Christ is a life free from enjoyment, not at all. But what I am saying is a life in Christ is a life that helps to preserve your enjoyment for sustained periods of time. I believe God has called all of us, wherever we are, to be an example for him and to him. But we have to live for something greater than ourselves. The reason I believe that churches aren't as passionate about God as they should be is because I believe churches don't believe that people are as lost as they really are. There's an idea that, you know, there's heaven, yes, but I'm not sure that a loving God would send people to hell, so I don't think anybody goes to hell. And so with that type of mindset, people who don't know Christ, people who have gone away, not really accepting Christ to begin with, but have had religion, are on a path for an eternity separated from God. Now, the way in which we actually reach people is not through sermons anymore. That's not how we reach people. That's not how you touch a person's heart. It's not a sermon. It's actually an example. And with the example, people then, their hearts are open to hear a sermon. And unfortunately, if you were to ask a person who doesn't do church what their idea of church is, I'm sure they'll have a lot of things that don't actually reflect the true nature of God. We've done a pretty bang-up job representing our Lord and Savior. We may have got out to be judgmental, hypocritical, hateful, sometimesy, when that's not who God is. But I want us to make a decision that we're going to live the way God intended for us to live. No matter where you are in that spectrum, I don't want you ever to feel condemnation, but I do want you to feel conviction, because conviction is the proof of love. Conviction just simply means that I know where I am today, but I'm empowered to do better today. I want you to feel that. I'm asking as a church for a commitment to go beyond just traditional church. I want us to be creative. I want us to be authentic. But as long as there's one person who doesn't know Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior, I don't want us to ever be satisfied. What happens typically in churches is that we get comfortable with the people that we know. So we begin to make events to reach the people that we know. So then we hold church services to preach to the same people that we know and have prayer meetings with the same people that we know. So we build an entire community for the people we know. I don't want that. As long as there's one person who doesn't know Christ, I want our hearts to be, how can we reach them? But it's impossible for us to reach someone if we don't understand where we are and who we are ourselves. So I want to spend these 3 weeks of laying a solid foundation into the Outlet community for you to know that God is for you, He's with you, and you have a purpose. How selfish are we going to be? God's blessed your life. You just going to hold that? God's given you influence, and you're not stewarding that for His glory? We got to ask ourselves, why do we want to be blessed? For our needs? He took care of that. I started off stronger than I thought. So let's talk about what it means to have our life hidden in Christ. Go back to verse 1 of Colossians chapter 3. It says, since you have been raised to a new life in Christ, what that means is that you have a brand new perspective. God wants to give you a brand new way to look at life. It says, set your sights on the realities of heaven. What that means is God wants us to exchange the cultural values that we hold for the kingdom or Christ values that govern the realm, the place in which our Christianity or our walk with God stems from. So it is impossible for God to go deep if we don't give Him permission in our heart. Give an example. In our minds, we have a limitation on how much we really want to obey what God is asking us to do. I know God said, and He's been leading me to do this and do that and do this. However, to do that, it would cost me X, Y, and Z. Well, the thing that determines cost is value. And the question is, where are the majority of your values? You determine your values by your priorities. And so what He's asking us to do is exchange cultural priority for kingdom priority. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His way of living, and all the things that you were looking for will be added to you. So He's saying that if we take matters into our own hands, if we try to govern life according to our own set of rules and precepts, we'll actually end up losing the very thing that we're trying to protect. But if we say, you know what? No longer do I want to live life based off of my principles. I'm going to live life according to God's principles. He's going to be able to give you the very thing your heart is longing for. Now, I can go in a few different directions with that, but I want you to think about in your life, what have you substituted Christ's values for your values? I want you to think about in your life, what have you substituted in your priorities for God's priorities? Where have you placed what you want above what the Lord is asking you to do? And that, what I just handed you, is the definition of spiritual development. But we hide. We do. We hide in our comforts. We hide behind our excuses. We hide behind our reasons as to why we cannot obey right now. What if I hurt their feelings? Well, then that means that their feelings you value greater than what Christ is asking you to do. So how long are you going to play Savior and not let Christ be your Savior? So this is the issue in church. Can we talk church for a second? No one wants to put down their values for Christ's values, but yet we want to tote some scripture that we can get with. I'm going to be honest. Teaching the word is tight, but it's right. And I cannot hop and skip around the Bible because there are certain things in scripture that I see that I need to work on. So, the most judgmental people that I've ran into have the most hidden sin in their life because it's projection. I don't want to deal with what I know I need to be doing better, so I am going to nitpick you to death to not deal with me. So the first step to an authentic environment is an environment free from judgment. Well, if the Outlet community is about being a life-giving community that promotes authentic relationships, that means we are committing to relationships free of judgment. Because when I'm judging you, I'm not paying attention to what's going on in me. But when I'm paying attention to what's going on in me, I can't judge you. So there are certain things that I have to bring back to the forefront as our church continues to expand, as our church continues to grow, just to say, hey, this ain't that kind of show now. I want to let you all know, if I risk my entire life to do what God called me to do, I am going to make sure I am doing what he called me to do because I don't have time to go back and redo this one. But at the same time, I am not going to lie indifferent when I know you have a call on your life and you have to grow because there are people waiting on your obedience. You have to. I cannot reach every person God has called this ministry to reach by myself. I cannot care for every person God wants us to reach and care for by myself. If you all knew how tirelessly I think about what God has asked us to do, you would just be able to see on a daily basis. I'm like, there has to be more. I know my core team of pastors and ministers are tired of me because I am pushing them every single day, because if we rest in the success of our past, there is no future for us. So the more I see God's faithfulness, the more I want to do only what he asked me to do. But what I've discovered is life is more simple than we make it. Christianity is more simple than we make it. Prayer is more simple than we make it. I I spent years condemning myself because I thought I wasn't good enough. All last month when I was studying every week for the on-demand series, there was a level of condemnation because in my mind, I questioned whether or not I was smart enough to deliver a sermon to my church. And I told my wife after we got done with the series that it stemmed from subconscious insecurities rooted in my ability. You see, I didn't call myself to pastor this church. So if the church needs something, then I've got to go to the one who called me to get what it needs on a daily basis. If the Lord led you to the Outlet community, the Lord knew how you were. So don't think about, oh, I need to do this better. No, you go to him and say, God, I need help to do what you asked me to do concerning this. I believe that we could be a church with 100% engagement. How do I know that? We have more than 100% of the people that attend this church in our life groups. So the potential is there. But when you set the expectation as the leader, people rise or fall to the level you set for an expectation. And I believe in you. With all my heart, I believe in you. I know God led some of you to the Outlet community. I know with all my heart. Because I wouldn't have came with me to the Outlet community. Oh, no. But I know. So I want to push you to depend on Holy Spirit for the answer as to why. So a life hidden in Christ, God gives us a new perspective. So God wants to give us a new way to look at our lives. He then wants us to exchange cultural values for kingdom values. But the next thing that he wants to do is show us that we have a position of favor and honor and authority obtained by the power of God the moment of salvation. Think about that. You have a position of favor, of honor, and authority obtained by the power of God. Did you obtain that? Okay, you know what? We're going to play today. I'm going to come down and talk to you. That's what we're going to do. Y'all gonna sit and make me come down. I ain't got no camera today, so I don't have to worry about standing in nobody's light. I can come down on the floor. Ooh, yeah, y'all gonna play with me today. All right, I'm gonna play with you back. Now, did you obtain that favor? Did you obtain that honor? Did you obtain that power, that authority? So if you didn't obtain it, then you can't lose it. It's who he made you to be. So you've got to see yourself as somebody who has favor on your life. I don't know why all these deals just keep happening. I don't know why they keep coming to me. You didn't do that. Amen. It's who he made you. That's the life that's hidden in Christ for you. Satan cannot take that life from you, but you can give it back to him. So charisma will call you. Character will keep you. So what I'm dealing with now is character. That's the difference between Old Testament and New Testament. Old Testament, the Spirit of God came on holy men and women to do great and mighty acts. So in the New Covenant, the Holy Spirit still comes upon us to do great and mighty acts. Meaning, what I'm doing right now is a demonstration of Holy Spirit enabling, coming upon me to carry out a task for other people to be blessed. However, the difference in the New Testament is Holy Spirit lives within for your character. That's the difference. See, the blessings of God hit right when people know you live in what you're talking about. There's a level of credibility that you get with others when you display the very word you've been thumping at people all this time. Yep. So if you got a nasty attitude, let me just say this. So I was out a few days ago with a bunch of church people. And they had the nastiest attitude I done ever seen. I was embarrassed for their pastor. I said, if it was one of y'all, I don't care if some of y'all could be my parent twice, I'd beat you with my own shoe. Y'all bet not cut up with no outlet shirt on. I will rip that off your back. You know, the only time I had road rage when I worked at other churches when I was driving church vans. And what held me was when I cut them off, it would say, Jesus loves you. You know, and that would be a bad example of Christianity. But let me tell you what I want the outlet to be known for. How much you love people. How you're there. You might not be perfect, but be there, be present, be in the moment. And I promise you, that message will go so much further. If you could be people that learn to forgive, I'm telling you, it's the best way to live life. Instead of being mean, stuck up. You know all the scriptures, don't live now in one of them. You live for something and someone higher than you. And so when you want to cut up, because I have been there, where it's time to set it off, I've done all the Bible I've determined to do. You tap into God's grace, because when you're weak, that's when he's strong. Let me sit and talk to the marriages, because y'all kept coming up in my prayer time. By the way, singles, y'all going out to eat today after with the Living Single Life Group at 6 Feet Under. Amen. Praise the Lord. I ain't jealous. But married couples, let me tell you something. You are a reflection of God on this earth. So if y'all not talking, and y'all are two ships passing in the night, only thing you're telling people is that's how a good, godly God is. So your marriage is an evangelistic tool. So if you're not ready to preach a sermon, don't get married. People are looking for examples. The only reason why people associate to the wrong example, because that's the only example at times. It's the only thing they've been exposed to. And then you're in these environments where you get to be you, real. Now, I'm not saying married couples, hey, babe, that that every day is roses. And I heard somebody say, oh, my gosh, I just want us to get back to the honeymoon period. Oh, heck no, 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 no. I'm going to tell you about the honeymoon period. The honeymoon period is where you're trying to figure out, why the heck did I get married to them? Because they are completely different than when they were when y'all were dating. All the stuff they said, all the things they were doing, you had this idea, because hopefully y'all had a chance to drop each other off. I still believe in that. Y'all had a chance to drop each other off, not have to cohabitate. Or if you did cohabitate, in your mind you said, do you? But now you can't say, do you, biblically. And we in this. And you with yourself said, I will honor, I will protect all the days of my life till death do us part, because I love you. Cue before I let go. all them prayers you were praying. You forget. We have revisionist history here. Well, you forget about, come on, you got to go back. And that's why you need a good soundtrack. I don't know why I'm out here. I'm just going to be out here today. You need a good soundtrack. You hear me? All right? All right, let me tell you. Let me tell you, we ain't only listening to Christian music around this bad boy. You hear me? We ain't. We ain't. I cannot get down to James Cleveland at all. Like, you know, outside of I'm Not Tired Yet, I can't ascribe to any of the... You need to go back, play that wedding song that they walked down the aisle on, and remember and rekindle the feelings you had looking at them coming down the aisle and saying, I'm going to sign myself up the rest of my life for this, and I'm so happy. Like, need to remember that. Need to pull them in close and whisper a bunch of nasty stuff in their ear about all the plans you have together. Before some of y'all whisper some of that nasty stuff, you need to apologize for your bad attitude. That's what you need to do. Because you, thank you, amen, glory. Mama, thank you, I appreciate, push me on out there, thank you. I don't know why, but y'all were in my spirit this week. I said, I don't typically do this, but y'all kept coming up, and I got to deal with it a month ahead of time. Don't worry, I'm going to have a whole relationship, whatever, in the month of September and October for all relationships, because the reason why marriages have trouble is because they didn't understand the foundation of relationships going into the marriage. So when you could have got premarital going in, you're going to get the same information. We're going to call it therapy now. Got to be honest. Some of y'all need to, don't do it right now because then we know you jack some stuff up. But like real privately, just, hey, like the man just bite the lip, just sorry. Don't answer that, I'm sorry. Ladies, you've been cutting him down with your words. Just cutting. Oh, I'm just out here now. All right, Let me do this real quick to make sure y'all get the good word of God. Hold on. So what does it mean to be hidden in Christ? Hold on, because. All right. And I'm going to come back to that. I'm going to end with that. Y'all going to need to hear this. But let me talk to y'all ladies real quick. I know. I'm not justifying his behavior. I'm not. I know he need to work on romance. I know. He need to work on how he talk to you. I know. He need to help you out around the house. I know. But let me tell you what's not going to get him to do all the above. Cutting him down at the knees. And God knew you were smarter than us. Fellas, don't get offended because you know it's the truth. They are smarter than us. They hear it the first time. We get it, okay? Don't knock him out at the knees. I know you making the money. I know you knocking. I know. But hush. And stroke his ego. If you ever had a three-year-old draw you a picture before, and that was a little boy, he gonna draw you that picture. He's going to hand you that picture. When you look at that picture, you cannot say, oh, this isn't Michelangelo. Oh, my goodness. Who did you learn this from? Oshkosh Begosh? Like, what is this? This Paw Patrol looking thing here. You are going to deflate that three-year-old boy. No, you don't even do that. No, you don't. What do you do when you say, oh, my gosh, look at this. For me, I don't believe this. This is amazing. You took time to draw all over the pages in every color for me. Oh, you love me. And he's like, oh, yes, I did. I'm about to draw you 28 more. So when your man do something, I know you've been asking him to trim the hedges. I know you've been asking him to shampoo the carpets. But if he pick up his socks, say, oh, baby, look at that sock that got up. I got a man who know how to pick up some socks. Yes, Jesus. And he going to feel like that three-year-old kid. Like, yeah, I picked up socks. and in men. You need to say how you're feeling. Fine is not a feeling. Good is not a feeling. I was going to say this for next month, but I got to say it right now. I'm going to say it again because y'all going to forget. Like, I ain't never said that. The way, fellas, you approach communication, that attitude is how she is going to approach sex. So if you're like, oh, here she go again, she going to look at you and you tap her on the shoulder like, oh, here we go again. But if you want her to be a lady in the streets but a freak in the sheets, then what you're going to have to do is be open, be honest, and communicate even when it don't feel comfortable. The sexiest thing you could ever do for your wife is tell her, I'm scared, but I'm going to go to God and get a plan. You don't have to know it all. And shame on any person, pastor, religious person that made you feel like you did. Here's the truth. And I'm going to tell you, ladies, what your husband want. We don't know. What's the plan? I don't know. But if you create a space where it's safe enough for him to say, I don't know, but together, key, together, we will find out and do it together. Do it afraid. But do not leave each other alone in it. Amen. Enough of that commercial. Now, let me close out with this. A life hidden in Christ, a life that gives you a new perspective. It's a life that exchanges cultural values for kingdom values. It's a life that has a position of favor, honor, and integrity obtained by the power of God at the moment of salvation. Finally, a life hidden in Christ is a life hidden and concealed for your safety. As I was going over this, my wife said, Bae, you do know what concealer is, don't you? I said, nope. What's concealer? She said, concealer helps to cover the blemishes, the dark spots, the scars, the imperfections, so that when you have to make an appearance, people see what you put on, not what happened to you. So when we spend a life in prayer, Christ is your concealer, hiding the scars. Scars are evident because there were wounds that happened that hurt. No one's asking you to deny the pain of your past. We're asking you not to be paralyzed by it. But when you put on the concealer that is Christ, he conceals the scars that you had in your own self. He's able to conceal the dark spots. I wish I could get up here and say I made every decision that was right. I haven't. So there were decisions that I've made that had negative consequence in my home, in my family. I wish I could say I was perfect. Only 99% of the time. But I'm not. But when I put on Christ, who is my life, he covers what I am not, so I can be all that he is in my life. That's what these next 21 days are for. It's time to conceal everything you use as an excuse as to why you can't put on a life that comes from Christ. It's time for you to discover the life that God has for you that's hidden not from you but for you. The only way we draw it out is by prayer. Let's pray today. Heavenly Father, we exalt you, Lord. We give you all of the praise, all of the glory. As we embark on this series of being hidden and now cultivating the life we pray for, we're not just going to throw up prayers and not be willing to then cooperate with you in those prayers. For every person that's here today, Lord, I ask that you begin to deal with them as they spend time with you, Lord. Help them to see that you're for them, that you're with them. So while you all eyes are closed, who's ready to make that commitment? So you know what? I'm tired of playing. I'm ready to commit. I'm going to commit these 21 days to discover the life God wants me to live. If that's you, you just a little bit.